Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end.
In case you haven't heard about it, and you probably have, some believe that tomorrow, May 21st, is the end of the world, Judgment Day. Thousands of billboards around the country and plenty in the New York City subway system warn that the world will end about 30 and a half hours from right now. The belief is that at 6 p.m. tomorrow, a massive earthquake will make its way around the earth, beginning in Fiji and New Zealand. Graves will open and 200 million saved individuals will float up to heaven. The rest of humanity will be stuck on earth for 5 months, living a nasty existence before the world is totally annihilated. The man behind the prediction, Harold Camping, is an 89-year-old Christian radio broadcaster. He says his prediction is founded in sound mathematical principles. Camping's beliefs have not only found a strong following here in the United States, but his campaign has been widely promoted overseas. So, listeners, we have a few minutes to hear from you on this. Do you believe in Judgment Day? Or if you don't believe in tomorrow as Judgment Day, do you believe in one at all? Or maybe you're going to take part in one of the well-publicized rapture after parties beginning at 7 p.m. tomorrow night for beer-drinking skeptics of the world. Give us a call at 1-212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. That's our on-air line. We will never ask you for money on the air during Pledge Week. Joining us to speak about the math behind Camping's beliefs is John Mattson, a reporter for Scientific American, who wrote about it. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. And also joining us is Lisa Miller, contributor to Newsweek, who writes frequently about religion, and she's the author of Heaven, Our Enduring Fascination with the Afterlife. Hello, Lisa.
Good afternoon.
John, let me start with you. This week on the Scientific American website, you wrote about Judgment Day math. Harold Camping, the head of Family Radio Network, claims that he has infallible, absolute mathematical proof that tomorrow is the big day. So the math is pretty heavy stuff. Listeners, be warned. Tell us, mathematically, how did Camping come to this conclusion?
Well, I wish it were that easy. I mean, it's I approached this with as much of an open mind as I could, but it's really pretty convoluted. The reason he comes to May 21st is because that will be 722,500 days since April 1st in 33 AD, which he calculates to be the date of the crucifixion. And for whatever reason, he thinks that number is particularly important because it is 5 times 10 times 17 squared.
So, therefore, it reduces to May 21st in some way, 2011?
Well, I mean, the problem is, you know, he says, okay, 5 is important, 10 is important, 17 is important, and has all these biblical references for each, which are, you know, I'm sure you could find a biblical reference for just about any number you could think of.
Give me one. For example, why is 5 important, which represents the month of May?
Okay, so he says 5 is important because it symbolizes atonement, and there's a passage in Exodus where you know the Bible says the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering to the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. So half a shekel in decimal form is 0.5. Therefore, 5 is atonement.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of, I mean, that gives you a taste of the sort of mathematics at work, if you can call them that.
Now, Lisa Miller, as a religion reporter, John Mattson has just explained the math. Can you tell us about the conclusion that there will be this giant earthquake and that non-believers will endure plagues, wars, famines, and general misery for 5 months before the world ends? How does Camping get to such a painful end to humanity?
Well, actually, you know, this conversation about how the world ends is a very old conversation. There is a big debate among scholars about whether Jesus was this kind of prophet. You know, there are some scholars who say when Jesus said the kingdom is near, what he meant was this very thing, that, you know, there were going to be earthquakes and floods and fires, and, you know, the world as we know it was going to end, and a new world reigned by God was going to take its place. And then there are others who say that Jesus, when he said the kingdom is near, the kingdom is now, meant, you know, I am God, I am here among you, we are going to live like God's people now because I am here. So you can actually divide the faithful in Western religion down the middle between those who believe that the world is going to end soon. I once calculated that something like 20 million American evangelicals believe that the world will end within their lifetime.
And those who
are more on the progressive side, who think, yes, history is linear, the world will probably end sometime, but our job as the faithful is to do God's work on earth now and not think too much about that. So
there's a biblical grounding for this in the book of Revelation, is there not?
Yes, there is. And a lot of people have looked to the book of Revelation over the past, especially since the turn of the last century, for predictions, calculations, just like Harold Camping is. You know, there are lots of encoded weird numbers in the book of Revelation, lots of sixes, lots of sevens, lots of tens and ten thousands, and using those numbers plus other numbers elsewhere in the Bible, people have tried to come up with these dates. In 1840, there was this preacher named William Miller. He was the leader of the Millerites, and he believed that the world was going to end on a certain day in October in 1843, and just like is happening now, his followers gathered on a mountaintop and waited for the end.
We're talking about May 21st as the possible judgment day, end of the world, as you have probably seen somebody try to leaflet you about in Penn Station, as happened to me the other day, or somewhere in the subway system or on the streets in our area. Lisa Miller from Newsweek magazine, and John Mattson from Scientific American, looking behind the math of this belief, and some of you on the phones. Gene in Somerset, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, while I believe all this going on, end of the world theories, living theories, I do believe that the world would end at some point, and as Christians, my being one of them, I believe that our work today is really to promote Jesus, not to talk about when he will return, because in that very book, he tells us no one knows the day that he's coming, not even him, only the Father. So for this group to come up with a date and all this convolution of the dates, I really don't believe that. And Daniel and Revelation does give us a clue, but not the date.
So thank you.
Problem with this is that Christians from now on will be looked at as fanatics when you say you're Christian, because these people are coming up with this date and that's going to put a bad light on being a Christian.
Gene, thank you very much. And Lisa Miller, as a religion reporter for Newsweek, I guess what Gene expresses is that a lot of mainstream Christians who do believe in this basic vision of the end of the world for some day think that a bad name is being given to evangelical Christianity by the way a date is being put on this.
I mean, I think that's right. I think even among conservative evangelicals who do believe that, for example, the tsunami in Japan recently, global warming, the bad weather, political disruption in the Middle East, all of these things are signs that the apocalypse is soon, even they are hesitant to press them. When you do press them, they often say, yes, I think it will happen in my lifetime. But as your caller said, you know, the other side of it is, so what? So what do you do? Do you stand on a mountaintop and wait for the end, or do you do God's work on earth until that time?
All right. Israel in Manhattan has a math question for John, who reported on the math of this. Hi, Israel.
Yes, hello. Hi. Question. listen, during that time, the Haggai come up with May 5th. The Gregorian calendar did not begin at that time. So how would it, the year did not begin in January?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. John, I guess that might explode it as well from a mathematical standpoint. The Gregorian calendar, such as it is, where May is the fifth month, that didn't exist prior to Jesus, did it? John, still there? I think we lost John. Okay. Well, we'll let that math question stand as a rhetorical question and go to Gail in Oldwick. Hi, Gail. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. I just had a sort of funny anecdote about this. I first heard about Judgment Day being tomorrow last fall, and I told my oldest daughter, and she got a little upset because her wedding day is tomorrow. And I told her, don't worry, it's all good, because our whole family is atheists, so it's the only time we're ever going to be in church together. So we're going to be saved. We're really down with this.
Thank you very much. an atheist wedding tomorrow to kind of rub it in the believer's face. Wayne in Bayonne, you're on WNYC. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, what's going on?
Good.
I work down by the waters in the ports in Bayonne, and I'm dead serious about this. I'm waiting for the apocalypse because I'm a heavy metal artist. All right, I'm working on a comic book as I'm speaking to you right now. I have a 13-foot yellow surfboard that I'm going to go down by the water tomorrow morning, and I'm waiting for the giant tidal wave to come so I could ride it over New Jersey so I can maybe make it to Asbury and barrel through Bruce Springsteen's birth house. That's my dream for the apocalypse.
You may get your dream tomorrow evening.
I'm hoping. Rock on.
Thank you very much. And with all this rain, Wayne, you know you're gonna have good surfing conditions. I think we have John Mattson back. John, you there?
Can you hear me, Brian?
Yeah. So you heard Israel's math question, right?
Yeah. And that's a very good question. It sort of gets a little fuzzy here, but the essential thrust of Camping's argument is that, okay, you know, whether you look at the Julian calendar or the Gregorian calendar, it's not so important that it's the fifth month, just that it's 722,500 days, from the crucifixion to May 21st, 2011. So I think the way it works, because the Julian calendar started somewhat later, is you extrapolate backward in the Gregorian calendar and go from there. But it's pretty hazy. I mean, people don't even as far as I understand it, the date of the crucifixion is not something that is known with 100% certainty. So to extrapolate from that is a little bit dicey in and of itself.
So we're just about out of time. But Lisa Miller, of course, some people are finding humor in this, including Wayne, who's going to go surfing in the high tide that the floods will bring, and including the U.S. government, as it turns out, because yesterday the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, poked fun by advising people how to prepare for a zombie invasion in a blog post. So assuming that tomorrow is a repeat of Camping's September 1994 prediction, when nothing happened, how will he and his followers respond?
Well, what happened to the Millerites may be a good example. You know, after what was called the Great Disappointment, where they all gathered on the hill and they waited for the world to end and the sun rose the next day, there was all of this weeping. Somebody who was there described, you know, lots of weeping. And then everybody who was a Millerite, and some accounts say that there were 500,000 people who were following William Miller, sort of dispersed. And he died unpopular, not the leader of a huge movement, and people became Seventh-day Adventists, are descendants of William Miller. His followers broke up into smaller sects and never gave him the credit that he might have thought he deserved for being such a big and powerful leader.
Well, maybe the same thing will happen to Mr. Camping after tomorrow at 6 p.m. John Mattson, a reporter for Scientific American, and Lisa Miller, contributor to Newsweek and author of Heaven, Our Enduring Fascination with the Afterlife. Thank you and goodbye. It's been good to know you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.